All right, back here on 96.5 The Fan. Thank God we got through the bye week. Had to watch some decent football yesterday. None of it involving the Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome into Fesco and Dusty on a Monday morning. If it's really dark outside, that's because fall has officially arrived. I don't know about you fellas. Windows open all weekend, brioche.
You know what? It was open, and then it got really hot on Saturday, and so we had to turn the air on.
It was warm.
It got warm on Saturday.
For about 3 hours, right. And then eventually the sun started to go down a little bit quicker. We won't see the sun until about 9 a.m.
I know. I hate this time of year from that standpoint, man. I like getting up. I like driving in, and it's 4:30, and you see the twinkling lights of the sun. It makes it for a long day. I don't necessarily mind it because we are in here, but I still like to see it outside. But when that nighttime comes, and it hits 5 o'clock, and it's dark, ooh, you just want to curl up in bed because it just is so dark too early. So I like to prolong it as long as we can, but here we sit. You know, here we sit. The fall has come. You said this morning we may get a freeze this week. I saw
tonight
it could be down to 33 tomorrow. So hopefully it kills all the dust mites and all that crap that's still out there in the air right now. And so we'll see where we go. We tried to fix the lawn this week.
Fix the lawn?
Oh, God. Our lawn is an absolute show. I mean, it is an absolute mess. And so I finally reduced myself to buying those green strips of grass that grow on concrete to see if we can finally get that to grow. So we'll see. It's awful, man. It is just an awful situation. And my wife, right before she leaves to Chicago to run the marathon, 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, I should say, on Saturday morning, she's out in the front yard digging up the lawn. I'm like, what are we doing here? Now I got to go to the store and buy seed.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know. I'm glad that there's a couple of things I realized this weekend about the season that we're in. It is now, which is hilarious, in week six, officially football season.
Yep, like with now baseball being over.
Baseball's over. I hate the Dodgers.
Boy.
I hate the Yankees, and I am so excited when Dallas loses the way they do.
Yeah.
Because it's here's the thing. I will not hate Dallas if Jerry Jones is gone. But since Jerry Jones is there and he is who he is, I hope Dallas loses every game 47-6.
Yeah, I don't care
like for
if Dallas
those people
loses.
That are like, oh, they do is show Taylor Swift on television. They showed Jerry Jones yesterday more than they showed Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately, I know it was Jerry's birthday and maybe he's last, but like Dallas losing like that to Detroit is to me, and Mike, I'm sorry if you're in your car listening because I know you're a Dallas guy, but my thing is like, and I asked Mac and you this question, like, is there a team in football that you love to see lose more than the Dallas Cowboys? And Mac's like, oh, it's Cincinnati, no question. I'm like, eh, well, that's probably recent bias, but that's probably what Chiefs fans will say.
Yeah.
But when
recency bias, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. But like when Dallas lose like that, like it's every year. And I think I found out why. I think it's because it's Jerry Jones. Like, I think if they had a different owner who wasn't such a moronic, egotistical boob. Like, Jerry Jones had really the opportunity of a lifetime to make one thing work this offseason. It was give Derrick Henry the money.
Well,
go sign Derrick Henry, figure out Dak, figure out Micah, and I'll give him credit. Like, he's got, you know, two guys of his defense that are out, which is tough.
It's tough, but that's an excuse, you know?
Sure it is. And, I mean, a legitimate excuse. Those two guys are all worldly players. But the other thing, too, is Derrick Henry's on the Baltimore Ravens roster. Derrick Henry leads the league in rushing yards and touchdowns. If Dallas had a running game, they would be 5-1.
Well, the problem with the Dallas Cowboys is the owner. I mean, any team that struggles consistently, and the Dallas Cowboys have struggled consistently, it's been 30 years since they've been a relevant football team. The reason you're an irrelevant sports team is because of ownership. And Jerry Jones is single-handedly responsible for running the Dallas Cowboys into the ground, because not only is he the owner, he's the general manager. He's the guy that's going out there and making all of these personnel decisions. The guy who thinks Dak Prescott is a legitimate quarterback, the guy who thought Tony Romo was going to be a legitimate quarterback, the guy who runs the organization, the guy who makes the decisions is the owner. There's no checks and balances in place, and that's a problem in the NFL, right? You can't have your owner being the guy who's making all the personnel decisions, because who's going to walk up to the personnel guy and say, hey, wait a second here, are you sure you're making the right decision? Are you sure you're drafting the right people? And they're not doing that. And the Dallas Cowboys losing for the NFL is actually better than the Dallas Cowboys winning for the NFL, because people are going to pay attention, because you love to hate the Dallas Cowboys. I've hated them my entire life. There's not a better team to see lose than Dallas. And then they perform with the show afterwards, too, where Jerry Jones gets out there. He holds a press conference. He rants and raves. He'll go on our sister station in Dallas Today and complain about that as well. And so it's a great show when the Dallas Cowboys lose. It's one of the most entertaining things you can see in all of American professional sports. And that's why I've said for so many years, Jerry Jones is the P.T. Barnum of the NFL. You set up a circus, you put up a tent, Jerry World, and everybody shows up and pays their money to see the bearded woman and you know, people on the tightrope and the elephants and all that kind of stuff. And they go 8-8, 9-8, and they don't deliver, but they promise a lot. They think they're going to be good. They sell their fan base that they're going to be good every year. And much like, you know, everybody every year waddles into the NFL season thinking Dallas is going to be good, Jerry Jones is the best salesman out there. He could sell, I mean, anything to anybody. That's how good Jerry Jones is. And every year people buy in that the Dallas Cowboys are going to be good, and then they're not. And then everybody feels like, oh my God, I got screwed. I thought Dallas was going to be good. That's your fault for buying into that mess down there. So I truly love it. And for those who were claiming, you know, Detroit was running up the score, these are professional athletes. There's no such thing as running up the score in professional sports.
Yeah, you don't like it, stop it.
Yeah, stop them. You know, you play defense. You get paid good money to go out there and play defense.
Because I can guarantee you, if somebody's playing the Chiefs and they have the opportunity to put up a 50 spot, they're going to put up a 50 spot.
It probably is going to come at the end of the month against the Raiders. I mean, I just think that's going to be the breakout game.
If somebody's playing the Chiefs.
You're absolutely right.
If somebody had the opportunity to put up 50 on the Chiefs, they're going to put up 50 on the Chiefs.
Absolutely, and they should. Until you go out there and stop them, there's no reason for you to go out there and complain it's about running up the score, because these are professional athletes. Like the Dodgers last night winning 9-0 over the Mets. That's not running up the score. That's just scoring runs. And you know, we see points scored in this league with a drop of a hat. Like, you don't feel comfortable up 14 with 4 minutes to go. You know, nobody feels comfortable that way. You got to figure out a way to stomp on the opponent. Detroit did that yesterday. They're playing some really good football, losing their best player, and Aiden Hutchinson really sucks. But hey, man, they put on a show yesterday for everybody and buried the Dallas Cowboys. And Jerry Jones is going to have to make a tough decision on Mike McCarthy and find a way to potentially move on from him. But it's not going to change until the owner changes, until he gets this thing figured out, until Jerry Jones becomes somebody who can relinquish I don't want to say the play calling duties, but the general manager duties for the Dallas Cowboys. They're going to continue to struggle until Jerry Jones is willing to admit that he's the problem and it's nobody else, because for the last 30 years, he's been the only consistent in Dallas.
Your wife ran a marathon this weekend.
Yeah, she did.
I thought that was worth the opening of the show. I mean, that's something that I will, one, never do.
Right.
I will do a 5K. I will do a 10K. I would consider, and I mean, Mac, I consider, which you probably wouldn't do it, a half marathon.
Oh, God, no. 13 miles, no.
I would consider it. But a 10K, I'll run 6.4.
Yeah.
5K, 3.2 in my sleep. But congratulations to Jen Fesco in Chicago, doing an entire marathon. Ooh. Rubber jelly legs. I hope she got that cheeseburger. I hope she's taking the day off, which I know she's not.
No, but she is. Oh, she's off.
Figured she should.
Yeah.
Probably can't move much, but this is her third one.
Yeah, her third marathon. Good her second God. Chicago. She did New York a couple of years ago. Chicago. You watch sports your whole life, but like the proudest moment I've ever had in my life was watching my wife finish that first Chicago marathon. I mean, that was just one of the coolest things ever. And then to see her finish New York, I'm like, cool. And she's like, I'm done. And then she goes, I'm going to run Chicago again. I said, you're nuts. And she ran Chicago again and did that. And so she didn't win, you know, but that's fine. She finished a marathon. And I don't think the three of us, if we ran like a relay, could finish a marathon in a day like she did yesterday. And so I'm just so proud of her, man. As a husband, like you look at your wife and you go, I'm envious of that. I wish it was something that I could do, because it really is a great way to see a city, you know, and it's a lot of fun along the course for the most part. But when you're running and you're grueling and you're out there trying to move through 26.2 miles like she did yesterday, I give her all the credit in the world. I love her so much, man. She makes me proud just to see her finish that, because I know in my life, like, I've never done anything remotely close to athletically accomplished like that. And I don't know. I guess I don't have the mindset to go out there and run 26.2 miles. And I don't have the want to go out there and run 26.2 miles, because I think it's nuts. But she did it, and man, I'm just so proud of her, man. Training and training and training, and finally getting to that race day and running it, and then finishing and getting in an Uber and going to the airport and flying home. I mean, she was home before the Bengals beat the Giants last night. Like,
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what is that flight? Like an hour and a half from
40
Chicago?
Minutes or something. Minutes, yeah, it's no big deal. You know, you're up and down and whatnot. So it's a quick flight. And then she, you know, drove home and got back and was here for the end of the football game. She goes, why aren't you watching the game? I go, because it stinks.
Yeah, you got to watch it.
Yeah.
It's not great. I mean, Joe Burrow's good.
Joe Burrow got his ass kicked by the Giants last night.
It's a good defensive front.
Yeah,
so
it really is, yeah.
Mac, have you ever done a half marathon or like a marathon or anything like that?
No.
I feel like you're the type that would do that.
I would like it.
Would you?
A full, but I'd start with a half.
Yeah. I don't think she ever started with a half. I think she went full bore into, you know, the 26.2 miles.
That's how I was with edibles.
Yeah, right.
Like, I just take a half, right? Like, let's get the full effect.
Yeah, let's see what happens, right?
Whoa.
But I think that's how the marathon is, too. What in the hell? What am I doing? Right?
Where am I?
And you're seeing space creatures and things
just
that are.
Wait,
you know,
just wait. It'll kick in, I promise.
You got that runner's high going on, don't you? But no, I mean, it's insane. I think the training's insane, too. I mean, you're running 16, 20 miles to train for this damn thing. You never run that full marathon, and then you get to 26.2 miles. You're like, I can't do this anymore. My legs are fried. Why is this duck passing me? Oh, my God. What am I supposed to do? But I mean, it's just so proud. I just can't put it into words. My daughter scores a goal in soccer yesterday. My wife finishes a marathon, and I sat on my thumb.
No, you crushed a taco pizza.
I did crush a taco pizza on Saturday from Casey's. Yeah.
I do love that taco pizza, man. They crush those Doritos on
top.
Oh,
man. So good. The kids love it. I put it in the air fryer yesterday, heated it back up.
Ooh.
Charred the whole thing.
I was going to say, just put that in the oven. Put in the oven for 10 minutes on like 350.
I put it in the air fryer for like 4 minutes at 380. Forget about it. It was still good. Yeah. I still ate it. I didn't care.
You sound like the Griswolds eating Christmas dinner.
That's exactly right. I'm not going to waste it. That's money, Dusty.
Save the neck for me, Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Mac, do you have like the greatest athletic accomplishment in your life? I mean, it's nowhere near Jen Fesko.
No, it's not even.
Who's still asleep.
Right.
I dunked a tennis ball in high school. I felt pretty good.
That's awesome.
Oh, okay. Couldn't get to the volleyball.
You know over the tennis net?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, exactly.
Now you know what it's like to be Shaq.
Exactly. Yeah, it felt great.
Yeah. They literally said that's why he struggled with free throws. Try to shoot a free throw, shooting a tennis ball, and that's what Shaq's equivalent is to a
basketball.
Oh, wow. That's why it's like so like hard for him to shoot.
Oh, that's crazy. I never heard that.
Because his hands were so big. That he couldn't, like, literally, so they were, and it's funny you say dunk a tennis ball, like, put a tennis ball in your hand and try to shoot a free throw.
Oh, that's crazy. That makes all the sense in the world. I think my greatest athletic achievement was finishing second in the Seguin, Texas pie eating contest back in 1999.
Was it Lardass? Was that the guy from Stand By Me?
Yeah.
Pukes blueberry pie. Was that you? You were Lardass?
Yeah, kind of. But yeah, I think Seth got a medal.
Lardass. I'm sure you've never seen Stand By Me.
He has no idea what Stand By Me is.
What a fantastic film. Richard Dreyfuss. What about Bob?
You know who the Beatles are?
Yeah, somebody doesn't.
Yeah.
I would say my greatest, which is so funny because this is like the pun of it all, is I once hit a walk-off home run in slow pitch softball.
There you go.
At the age of like 19 against 40-year-old. So
it's pretty sick, though.
Yeah.
But I mean, in softball, you don't
inside the park, right?
No.
Oh, all right.
Your boy had some pipes back then. But thing is, you don't run the bases in softball. You just go to first and touch it. So it was like the most anticlimactic thing I've ever done
in my entire life. Why didn't you just run the bases yourself? Was there somebody there I'm to put not up doing a wall?
Do you know who plays in softball?
That's a good point. Once I started to say it, I realized, softball guy.
Yeah. I'm rounding second.
Yeah.
Get to your dugout.
Yeah.
It's like,
yep.
Okay.
You guys
sorry.
Ready to bust a Bush Light bottle over your head. Yeah, that's not going to fly. You're right. My bad. Yeah.
I touched first. I'm like, are they okay? And they're like throwing their bats. I'm like,
yeah.
Softball.
Probably. Guy had softball pants on.
Oh, dude. Wife's definitely cheating on you.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
I just wish my husband would pay more attention to me like he does with softball.
Yeah. I don't understand why you need 7 games on every Sunday. We've got stuff to do.
I've noticed you stopped wearing your wedding ring, honey.
Yeah.
Oh, I've done a lot of things I haven't been doing lately.
Yeah.
Sorry. I hope that's not happening.
But that's the thing, though. Softball guy playing like 7 games on a Saturday and 6 on a Sunday instead of hanging out with his wife. And you wonder why,
that's
right?
That's what I said last week. Who's worse, softball guy or golf guy?
That's right. It could be both.
Equal.
Yeah, Jimmy
Equal.
Buffett had a song, You Call It Jogging, I Call It Running Around.
He also had a song called Come Monday, which is where we're at today. Coming up on the other side, it is Overreaction Monday on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
It was a semi-charm kind of life this weekend. We're off to a hot start, Mac Morey. I'll do this for you all week if you'd like, or I can stop. I would like to know on the text line, 913-586-7965. What did you do with no Chiefs game this week. Did you?
Plenty of stuff.
So like I went and supported my buddy.
Times.
I went, no, you can't do that yet. You got to mulch him first. Trust me, I will send you pictures of my yard and you'll be like, you actually probably should do that and not radio.
Okay.
Which a lot of people would probably agree with.
Yeah, mostly, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, yard work for lichens instead of yapping his mouth every week? Absolutely. Although, I did have a couple people this weekend that reached out and they were like, you know what, man? Your takes can sometimes be frustrating, but golly, whatever you're drinking, whatever you're eating, I need that at 6 a.m. every day. I'm like, dude, it's just life.
Well, don't come at us at 10 a.m. because there's nothing then.
Yeah. No doubt.
The day's just a little reversed for us, you know?
Someone's like, do you drink like Red Bull? I'm like, no.
Well,
I'm like, I drink coffee with a splash of almond milk, and every once in a while I have like an Alani, which is like an energy drink, but not all the time. I want to know, like, what is, because this weekend my buddy, his soccer team, heartbreaker, man, undefeated all year, goal differential number one, playoffs.
Oh,
out.
They lost. Oh my God. They're the number one seed that went down, huh? Yeah,
they are the Buffalo Bills. They get there every year. They won their first game, 9-0 and then advanced, won their next game, I believe like 5-0. And then they played the number one team along with them. And it was 2-1, had a cross, scored, offsides.
Brutal call. Do you know what offsides is? Because most people don't know what offsides is.
It's essentially cherry picking.
It is, but I'm going to tell you, I've now watched soccer.
Try
probably,
teaching that to 8-year-olds,
well,
by the way.
But not even, it's not about the 8-year-olds. Yeah. They know it. It's not about them. It's the parents who can't figure this out. And we've been now through, at least I would say, if I'm not mistaken, let's count it, 3 generations where soccer's been pretty popular in this country. For whatever reason, suburban dad and mom can never figure out what
but
the hell offsides is.
She wasn't offsides.
Okay, well, maybe she wasn't, but, you know, the flag went up, right?
There was a girl, because I was on the...
Do we have video evidence of this?
I could have got it. I didn't. I'm not that guy, because I don't have a daughter, and I don't want somebody to be out there and be like, why is this rando recording these kids?
Recording the games, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, come on. Yeah. And so I'm, like, at the goal area, and I kind of look up, and there was a girl on the backside of the corner over by the other side, the far end of the goal, and then this girl flag up, everybody's cheering, it's 2-2, and then all of a sudden everyone, you know, and
sees the flag.
And you can't yell at the refs because they're all like, you know, youth members
they're
trying to learn the game. They're getting paid, you know, $1.25 to ref. Oh, it's brutal, man. But I mean, I didn't get to see a lot of the London game. I did have Caleb Williams. I was listening to Mac. Love the show. Fantasy Football Sundays with Mac, 9 a.m.
Thanks, man.
Turn it off when Binkley got it. I'm kidding.
You could hear all the radios in the city going off when Jay got on.
I drove in listening to Mac, and I drove out listening to Jay Binkley and Drew Nixon talk about college football, because good God, did college football deliver this weekend.
College football was a pretty good one over the weekend. I mean, there was some good activity going on in college football over the weekend. But I don't mind the Chiefs not being on Sunday. I get the opportunity to do stuff. I'm like, all right, fine. You know, they're not playing today. That's great. You know, I don't like the Monday night game. I don't like the Thursday night game, but I also like having the, you know, Sunday where I was sitting at the soccer field for most of the day yesterday.
Yeah.
I was watching my wife run a marathon for most of the day.
I mean, yesterday,
you know,
was awesome.
Yesterday was perfect day yesterday. And so I didn't even really miss it yesterday. And the thing was, I was glad we had a bye weekend. Like Friday, I was saying like, we need a Chiefs game, but more importantly, I'm like, we all needed just a weekend of rest here in Kansas City, because you could start feeling it like getting ramped up and everybody was starting to get tired and all the games were taking place with the Royals and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden it was over and then there's no Chiefs game this weekend. I'm like, this is the perfect weekend for everybody to kind of hit the reset button, especially the franchise with the big game against the 49ers coming up, you know, this Sunday, which is going to be quote unquote the game of the year. A lot
is
of people
really?
Think, well, I don't know. It's a Super Bowl rematch, right? So
not really, because nobody on that Super Bowl team for the Niners is playing.
That is true, but it's still the teams, you know. Fox is going to be pushing it. Brady's calling the game, the whole nine yards.
Tommy B?
Yeah.
I think that's
our first Brady game,
is it
not?
Yeah, I don't know how tough it's going to see for Brady to talk about Mahomes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I haven't seen it yet. I can't wait.
Yeah, right.
We'll get to that a little bit later this week. There's a topic. Mark it down in the rundown.
Yeah, so that's going to be good. So, no, I'm good with it. Like, I don't need the Chiefs in my life to have a fulfilled weekend, you know? I love watching my kid play soccer. There's nothing better. I love watching my wife finish the marathon. So, to have all those things going on and not have the Chiefs game going on, I'm good with that. They needed the rest. Travis Kelce held hands with Taylor Swift, I saw in New York City over the weekend. A lot of people freaking out about that. But other than that, it was a good weekend, I think, for everybody just to kind of take a pause and, number one, realize how good the Chiefs are, too, because you got to watch the rest of the league, which is not that good compared to the Chiefs, not that entertaining compared to the Chiefs. You didn't have to worry about baseball this weekend. You know, let that kind of fade in the wayside a little bit. But I think a great weekend to just kind of hit the reset button for everybody.
Yeah.
And now we hit the ground running as we get ready for the rest of the season. And they always say the bye comes at the right time. I think for the fans of Kansas City, the bye came at the perfect time for everybody.
Yeah, I thought it was. I think you're right. I think for everybody, like locally, like I think we're all like essentially relatable in this discussion. Like Thursday and Friday or Wednesday and Thursday were heartbreakers. Baseball, right?
Yeah, right.
Your team's out.
Right.
Friday, you kind of have like the right. There's nothing really going on.
Tongi Basher was a huge game over the weekend. Let me tell you, shout out Basher for kicking Tongi's ass. Right.
There you go. And you know, this weekend was like kind of like a weird week. I mean, obviously it was like 90 degrees on Saturday, and then Sunday it was like, hello, we have fall has officially arrived, and you don't have any Chiefs to worry about. I think this is why sports gambling is a plus, you know, and then also fantasy football is a plus, because I got to sit back and watch Red Zone and be like, okay, which one of my guys is doing, you know, this and that, whatever. Nobody cares about your fantasy team. But not only that, but people on the text line. Worked in Asheville, North Carolina, restoring power to energy customers in the mountains, bears, mountain lions. I don't know what that means, but like, you know.
Look out for the mountain lions.
Decided to rip up my wife's car. Oh, no. I read that wrong.
Whoa.
My wife decided, since there was no game, it was a perfect time to rip up the carpet upstairs, living room, and sand and stain the hardwoods. Hey, get it done during the bye.
Call my guy Ralph at Quality Hardwoods. He'll take care of it for you.
The wife's 40th birthday weekend. Celebrated all weekend, Justin and Tong and Oxy.
Perfect, Justin. Way to go. Did you guys go out in downtown Tongi? They got that bar down there. I can't remember what it was. I've been to a few times.
Somebody said day 10 of asking for a shout out. Keep asking. You're never going to get it.
Yep.
What is dead may never die. That's a Game of Thrones reference, but if you get it, congratulations, but it's never coming back. But yeah, so there you go.
Right in May, because it pisses off the boss, so.
Mac, I imagine this is probably a great weekend for you, right? Like you get just nerd out on college football.
It was fantastic.
And you just sit at home at your mom's house eating pizza.
Oh, yeah, she's gone for the week. Oh, yeah, it was fantastic.
Look at you. You got the crib to yourself.
Open house, baby.
Right. Why does the entire house smell like a skunk?
Why is she away for the weekend and leaving you alone?
Dude, her friend won an all-expenses-paid trip for a week.
Which one?
The hot friend?
Was it the hot one?
One of the,
We're
not going to go into this.
Why?
I'm not affirming that there is a hot friend.
There is? So what? Mother's got some friends that look good. Yeah, what's the big deal?
But yeah, like, they have a personal chef, a masseuse.
Where?
They give gift cards to restaurants.
Where?
On the panhandle in Florida, so away from where the damage is.
I wonder if they got a free trip. Hey, come on down and help clean up.
I just watched football.
Right. So she gone this week, or is she coming back?
She comes back Sunday.
Sunday. So yesterday.
Yeah,
a week. We got a week. Mac is going to have parties at his house, right?
House.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice. But it is a fun topic to do. We get to do our Overreaction Monday here on Fesco and Dusty 96.9 The Fan. Damn, glad to have you on a Monday. Can we get Bob? We got Bob on our side yet?
Not really, no.
Caleb Williams is arriving, man. He's there.
Well, you know,
Caleb Williams. Hey, about that.
So good.
Okay, so let's
how about Caleb?
Let's talk about this. We'll probably get into it a little bit later. Maybe I haven't looked that forward in the rundown, but with Jared Goff doing what he did yesterday, why are we so quick to crown Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, but we will not give Jared Goff the opportunity? Why is that? Why are we so quick to crown guys who have played six games in the NFL, but yet you got Jared Goff, who's probably a top five quarterback now in this league, dominating? Nobody wants to give him the time of day. Not a lot of people want to give that guy in Minnesota the time of day, but by God, people who played six games, let's give them the crown and say they're the greatest.
So I can kind of help to this. I know Matt can too. One, Caleb Williams' expectations and Jared Goff's expectations are two different platforms. Caleb Williams was the first overall pick, a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback at a major university, right? Like Jared Goff went to a major university too. Wasn't the first overall pick, or was he?
He was not.
He was not the first overall pick.
No, he was not.
He was not. He was a first round pick, but he wasn't the top overall pick. He also went to the Rams. Jared Goff went to, Caleb Williams went to Chicago.
Right.
A franchise that has not had a good quarterback ever.
Ever.
And now all of a sudden, you know, you put these expectations, plus Bob, we live in a time where everybody's compared to Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, I understand. But like people won't get on the Jared Goff bandwagon.
I think Jared Goff is perfectly rated the way he is. I think they know what he is. I think they know who he is. And he's a guy that plays on a team that's perfectly well drafted for him. He has Laporta.
Yep.
He has Jameis Williams, who has definitely arrived. Jeez. He has Amara St. Brown. He has a dual threat at running back, which I don't understand. Like, as a fantasy owner of Jahmyr Gibbs, I don't know what I did wrong in that, but they just apparently love David Montgomery more than they love Jahmyr Gibbs.
I don't know any of those people, but I'm saying like
one was a first round pick.
We started the season with praising Caleb Williams and praising Daniels. We praise these rookie quarterbacks who haven't done anything in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at a guy like Jared Goff, who's done a lot in the NFL, and people are like, he's a mid quarterback. Or you look at Sam Darnold, like, he's a mid quarterback. Like, I've changed my impression of Sam Darnold. He's playing great this year. He's been fantastic this year. But like, we want to keep these same guys, these young guys. Like, we love the unknown, and we hate to have our opinions change. If Caleb Williams puts together a whole season like he's done last two games, 35 plus points, hey, played really well yesterday, right? Can't take it away from him.
Yeah.
I still need to see more, though, before I'm willing to say this guy's arrived. Like, in the NFL, we were crowning. Who do we crown in week one? We were crowning Miami in week one, right? We're crowning all these teams. Every week we're hearing this is the best, that's the best, this is the best. Let's get a body of work before we want to crown anybody. And it's okay to change your opinion as the evidence presents itself, too.
By the way, trust your instincts. Jared Goff was the overall first pick.
Damn, okay,
he
nice.
He was first overall. I thought he was.
I thought he was third or fourth.
No, was he St. Louis or was he L.A.?
It was L.A.
It was L.A.?
Yeah.
Okay.
First overall pick, Los Angeles Rams 2016 NFL draft. I knew it.
So he was the Rams' first pick back. They've been in L.A. that long now?
That draft class was, not that I'm going to go all the way through it, but the first five picks were Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Joey Bosa, Zeke Elliott, and Jalen Ramsey. That was the first five picks.
Go through those again. Go through.
Jared Goff.
Okay.
Carson Wentz.
Okay.
Joey Bosa. Zeke Elliott. Jalen Ramsey.
Who's the best of those five?
Probably Goff.
Yeah.
Or Ramsey. Yeah.
Yeah. Ramsey probably the best peak.
Yeah. Joey Bosa could be in that conversation, but he's never healthy.
Hurt. Yeah,
he's hurt all the time, you know.
And we've got a whole quarterback discussion coming up later in the show on exactly what you were talking about, Bob. But I want to dive into that more later.
I do too, because like the same thing with the guy in San Diego, you know, like the guy had a great game against the Chiefs and we crowned this guy. What has that guy ever won?
The Chiefs did have a first round pick that year's draft. The first pick in that draft was Chris Jones.
Not bad.
That's a hell of a pick.
That's a pretty good pick.
They traded out of the first round that year. I remember sitting there in Chicago, and they traded out of the first round. And I remember Chris Jones being pissed at that draft. He wasn't coming back for day two, and the NFL begged him to come back for day two. The Chiefs took him at the top of the second round, and it turned out to be, I don't know, one of the top 10 draft picks in franchise history. And I don't think I'm saying that out of turn, right?
No, but I think when you go back to the – we can have this discussion later on. When you look at the where people put expectations, Caleb Williams just, it's also when Goff got drafted in 2016, as opposed to when Caleb Williams was drafted in 2024, the evolution of football completely changed. More people are dialed in. There's more attention. There's more games on. There's more coverage. There's more this and that. So I think and somebody said it on the text line, which is a good text. The ceiling for Jared Goff was never going to be what Caleb Williams' ceiling
it's
could
exactly
be.
Exactly what I've written on the bottom.
Caleb Williams' ceiling is MVP, Super Bowl winning, franchise changing quarterback. Jared Goff was a first overall pick, but his ceiling was, can you be a sustainable quarterback for a franchise? He's been that for the Detroit Lions.
He's been that for two. He took the Rams to the Super Bowl, and he's on the cusp maybe of taking the Aiden Hutchinson thing changes everything for the Lions right now.
Mm.
But from an offensive standpoint, he's on the cusp of leading the Lions. Like, who's the best team in the NFC right now? I mean, it may be the Lions, Detroit. Right? Like, I know Minnesota's undefeated and your record is your record, but by God, what the Lions did yesterday, I mean, that was just an absolute shellacking of a fraud team in Dallas. But I mean, I look at what the Lions are doing right now. Like, I'm on Jared Goff's team, man. Like, that guy's playing some really good football. The other thing about Caleb Williams, too, is people in Chicago and the national media want the Bears to have the best quarterback so bad. Everybody's going to overhype Caleb Williams and everything that he does. Let's see at the end of the season. If he continues to play like this, I'll change my opinion on Caleb Williams. I got to see a whole year after just six games, though.
That's fair. And I mean, some people on the text are like, oh, congratulations. He's played some of the worst teams in football the last couple of weeks. Well, he
doesn't make the schedule. I'm not in on that as much as like, you know, Missouri playing UMass this week, you know?
No, I mean, like, he's getting the jobs done. He's, you know, he's thrown three interceptions and he's thrown six, eight, nine touchdowns to three interceptions, and he looks like he's actually starting to figure things out. Yeah. In the NFL.
I mean, that spin pass that he had yesterday was beautiful. Like, I mean, it was a great play that I saw yesterday.
Yeah, so maybe we can pump the brakes on the hatred towards Caleb Williams.
Yeah, we'll see. Or just pump it and say, like, and that's the other thing, though. I think, like, the expectations ruin a lot of these guys as well.
Oh, for sure.
So let the dude play. Yeah. Why do we have to say every week, this is the next Patrick Mahomes, this is the greatest offense we've ever seen? You know, like, some of the rhetoric that was being spewed last night on NBC, which you think the Fox baseball show is horrible pregame, right? The NBC Football Night in America may be the worst football show on television.
Jack Collinsworth. Bo Nix is trash.
Doesn't look good, man.
No.
Looks bad.
Looks bad. Looks bad.
Yeah, we're going to
need Chargers absolutely destroyed Denver.
Destroy them. We're going to need our What's in the Script recap. I don't want to listen to it because I talked about the Broncos. But right. Yeah, Bo Nix looked really rough, man.
Another one that we have here is that there's only one team to worry about in the AFC.
I think it's the Texans, and I think that's the only team right now that you have to worry about in the AFC. The rhetoric with the Ravens yesterday was out of control again. Mm. The Chiefs beat the Ravens. Like, people seemingly forget the Chiefs beat the Ravens in opening night, and that's the beauty and the hatred that I have, this love-hate relationship with the NFL. We want to react to everything that happened yesterday on the 13th of October, and we forget everything that happened weeks before. People are already forgetting that the Chiefs beat the Ravens. We had some nitwit last week, right? Say Baltimore was the best team in the AFC. One of the McCourty said they're the best offense in the AFC. They're 4-2 right now. The Chiefs already beat them. To me, the Houston Texans winning for the first time ever in Foxborough, putting up 41 points in an NFL game. They're the only threat in the AFC right now to the Chiefs.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I know Buffalo plays tonight against the Fesco Jets and Rodgers,
right?
Which he's ready for that one.
I told you, I'm ready to watch Rodgers tonight.
Got a weird fixation with Aaron Rodgers over here.
I'd still put the Ravens one over the Texans.
You would,
personally. Personally, yeah.
Got a big, massive tiebreaker of that game. That's why that game was so important.
Huge, yeah, yep.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the standings. The best team in your division, the Chargers, beat them. Houston 5-1. Colts aren't anything to worry about. Yeah. They're only 500. Steelers 4-2. Justin Fields playing to save his job. He did, I think. For now.
Yep.
Russell Wilson was ready. Still not going in. That's just the greatest tease of all time.
Oh God, Russell wanting to get in the game so bad.
Guess what? You're the backup. Like, not going to play.
Like tormenting a fat kid with pie.
His helmet's like on the whole game.
Oh,
man.
He's got the eye black on. He's ready. I'm ready, coach. Okay, you just sit over there.
Yeah,
just sit over there. You'll be okay.
But yeah, Buffalo 3-2. Jets 2-3. That battle for first place is tonight. If the Jets win, they're 500.
You think Robert Saleh's watching that game?
Oh yeah,
you
hoping
do.
For failure. Hoping like we watch failure. Dallas yeah. lose.
You think there's a new coach bump tonight for the Jets?
That's no. a good question. There usually is
usually for a week or two, right?
At least a week minimum. You know, like, you are who you are, but you do get that new coach bump.
You spark. Know?
Again, the Chiefs beat the undefeated Green Bay Packers when Romeo took over for Haley. If any team can get a win, and that team was gross. There could be a new coach, but I think we're all rooting for the Jets tonight. Like, you'd be smart to see the Jets win tonight.
Oh, for sure.
Continue to, you know, put Buffalo away.
Not only that, it is officially football season, and the team that you're getting ready to play is already coming after you.
It's a warrior-like feel to them, where it's like Kevin Durant and Steph, all right, we'll play 6 minutes of good ball, and we'll knock you out in the fourth quarter. That's what it feels like when I watch them. And I know we're really, 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 really good. And we keep looking over at them, and I'm like, but they're better.
They are better.
And it drives me nuts.
They are better.
I hate saying it. Like, you know it drives me nuts. And I watch that guy, Mahomes.
Oh,
God, he's awesome, and I hate him.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM Sports Station, 96.5, The Fan.
All right, we continue to regulate and mount up for this Monday edition of Fesco and Dusty. Damn, glad to have you. Still looks like it's midnight. Going to look like that way for a while. Hard freeze coming in tonight. See you, mosquitoes. See you, flies. Hey, Don. Can't wait. Somebody says, Bob, you should have hit Dusty with a thanks, coach, when he told you to mulch your leaves before raking. That's right.
No,
my bad.
I'm not going to thanks coach anybody, because if you've seen my yard, I'm open for all the advice. I was talking to our guy, Froman, one of the great Chiefs fans. He works over at Hy-Vee at 135th yesterday, and he was telling me, I got this lawn care company. Like, please come out and take care of my yard. Please, please, please. I mean, it is an absolute mess. We can't get grass to grow, and so we're in the middle of, I know, I just dropped another $250 on seed and fertilizer and blankets and all this other crap to try to get some yard growth going, because I feel bad my neighbors have to look at it. That's where I am on that part. You know, I feel bad my neighbors have to look at this thing.
Yeah. Somebody asked if they've fired Mike McCarthy yet in Dallas. No.
No, they have not.
And Doug Peterson still has a job, which I'm surprised.
Well, I'm not, because they're still in London for another week. They got another game over there.
Do they just stay?
Yeah, they do. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, with, you know, the hurricane and everything that went through there. They're trying to make London kind of a, you know, a home base as well, but they're not going to do that if they don't win some football games. But, you know, we were in London last year, and I was saying this when we came back. I did see some Jag jerseys over there. Like, I didn't see any other NFL jerseys over there. It was April. But there was a lot of Jag gear being worn. I'm like, all right, maybe it is kind of taking a foothold and whatnot, and we'll see if it continues to grow over there in London. But, yeah, Doug Peterson is probably walking the plank again. I mean, you can't sit there as the head coach of a football team and say, we need a culture change. Sir, you created the culture here in this operation. And so if you're sitting there saying we need a culture change, you probably need to look in the mirror and go, I got to go. So yeah. Doug Peterson, you know, maybe walking the short plank. Mike McCarthy probably walking the short plank again, but what does it do to fire your coach at this point of the season, right? It really gives you like a boost maybe, you know, in one game, but after that, you're still in a bad spot. And maybe gives you a jump start in trying to find that next football coach, but you fire a guy at this point in the season, you're just throwing the rest of the year away, and you're not going to sell a ticket. Nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to go. So you've got to figure out, you know, that balancing act between this being a business and being a good football decision. And if you're going to fire Doug Peterson, who are you going to hire to replace Doug Peterson as well, too? That is a Super Bowl winning coach. I know it seems like an eternity ago that he won a Super Bowl, you know?
Was a Super Bowl winning coach.
Yeah, but still is. I mean, he still got that on his resume. I mean, my God, the guy won a Super Bowl, and you're going to run him out the door, so by all means, go do it.
I do want to call an audible on the rundown, because I don't really care about baseball right now.
Yeah.
I understand that the Yankees and Dodgers are going to play in the World Series. ALCS Game 1 is tonight.
Yeah, you think it's a done deal already, Yankees and Dodgers?
I mean, Dodgers absolutely just waxed the Mets.
Yeah, they did.
You talk about house money. The Mets made the ALCS. No one had them there. They got there on a hook, line, and sinker of Pete Alonso, and then they just get absolutely murdered last night by the Dodgers. Who cares? Cleveland, Yankees.
I'm not rooting for Cleveland.
I'm not rooting for either one.
Do you know the Royals are the last AL Central team to win a World Series?
Believe it. I mean,
seriously, who won it before them?
It would have been the White Sox.
Would have been the White Sox in like 05, right? Is that when the White Sox won it? I think.
Whenever they had Jermaine Dye, former Royal, who won the World Series MVP.
Right. So the White Sox won it in like 05. The Royals won it like 10 years later in 15. Nobody's won it since. I don't want the Guardians to win this damn thing. So let the Yankees knock them out. Keep the Royals as the last remaining AL Central. The Royals may win a World Series before another team in the American League Central wins a World Series.
Would love
it. I would have said that 365 days ago, would you have believed that? Probably not.
No.
But the Royals have probably a better opportunity to win a World Series than anybody else in the American League Central, because I do think the Yankees are going to take care of the Guardians. I think it's their year, and I hope it is, and keep the Guardians out and get the Royals back to the World Series next year and win another one and go, man, the only team that wins a World Series in the Central are the Royals.
Yeah. But no, I want to bring this up because I believe maybe I'm the only one in this boat. I don't think I am, Mac. I think you might agree with this as well. But at the beginning of the year when the schedule released, I remember one of the topics that I had on After Hours was the fact that the Chiefs had a week 6 bye week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, they're never this early. They're always like week 10, week 11. It's always later in the season. You get that bye week, then you come back and finish strong the rest of the season. But I feel like, maybe I'm wrong, there could not have been a better week to get a bye week for the Kansas City Chiefs than this week, because one, you're sitting at 5-0. That's awesome, right? That's great.
I think most people would have said if they were 3-2 at the bye, because for whatever reason, people seemingly still don't believe the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. And if you watch this weekend slate without the Chiefs, you know damn well the Chiefs are the best and most entertaining team in the NFL.
Not only that, the Royals played on that Wednesday, Thursday.
Right.
Friday, obviously, they're out. You know, you might have had some people that had homecoming this weekend. Then you had Saturday, which is, you know, the end of, I think it's like the end of fall sports, basically, was this weekend for some, not everybody. And then you think about all the injuries that have piled up, not only in the NFL, which I had this conversation with Cody and Alex when we were watching the playoff games at the K. I was like, maybe I'm biased or I'm keeping my Chiefs glasses on, but this seems like it's been a rough year for injuries in the NFL.
Year
it's terrible. But I mean, you think about losing your running back, you lose your wide receiver, you lose your wide receiver, you lose this guy. And it's like, this week 6 bye couldn't have been at a better time, because you're beat up. You got to kind of have to like rearrange what your offense is going to look like. And not only that, but you go in 5-0, you come off in a Kansas City area, at least, where your baseball team, you know, your heart breaks. And then it's like, oh, It's the start of fall. I've got a weekend off. And then now it's like, okay, now the Chiefs can go the rest of the season, see where they sit in the rest of the in the division. Not only that, but in the AFC where they are 5-0, they have two massive wins. I mean, the Cincinnati win, I still think they make the playoffs.
You do?
Have you looked at their schedule, the remaining?
No, I have not, but I've watched them play. I mean, the Giants made that offense look abysmal last night. Now, the Giants have a really good defensive front. You're right. The microphone. But the Giants have a really good defensive front. Brian Burns was a great addition. He dominated that game. I'm not in that, without Thibodeau. I know exactly. Yeah. Without Thibodeau, they dominated the Bengals, right? They absolutely dominated the Bengals from a defensive standpoint. Daniel Jones couldn't quarterback a high school team to a victory. And it's a shame to watch the talent on that Giants team be kicked in the nuts by Daniel Jones. Gross. I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that before. So I don't think Cincinnati's a very good football team. I don't think they're a team that's bought in. And the commentary last night in that game from Chris Collinsworth, and I'll applaud him for this, talking about Joe Burrow's wrist, saying this was the first week Joe Burrow finally admitted, my wrist ain't right, and I'm trying to get that scar tissue off, and the ball's not spinning the right way, and whatnot. So, I don't think Cincinnati's making the playoffs at all. I think they're a dead stick right now. I'm not worried about the Cincinnati Bengals. That's fine. Market. I don't care. I don't think the Bengals. You played like that against the Giants yesterday. And so I for a team that's supposed to be pretty good offensively with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Joe Burrow, they're supposed to be this great offense, right? The Giants held them down yesterday. They got their 17th point with like seconds to go in the fourth quarter. So I'm not buying in on the Cincinnati Bengals right now. Mm-hmm. I know nobody's buying in on Pittsburgh. They just keep winning. They just keep winning football games. Baltimore, they just find ways to win football games. I think if you're Cincinnati, you got to overcome those two teams before we can even start talking playoffs about the Bengals.
You don't, because I think there's two things we can go from this weekend. One, the NFC is miles ahead in talent wise over the AFC, right? Like, the number one wild card team in the NFC is the Green Bay Packers at 4-2.
Yeah, the NFC Central is wide open. My God, there's never been a situation through 6 weeks where all teams in the division are 4-2 or better in the history of the NFL. Now,
the NFC North.
Yeah,
yeah,
amazing.
And then the number one wild card team in the AFC is literally, and I'm seriously here, is the Pittsburgh Steelers at 4-2. Then the Chargers at 3-2. The Cincinnati Bengals are 2-4 with an easy schedule. They could easily be a wild card team and limp themselves right into the playoffs and be what, like 10-6? And that would be a wild card team. So that's why I think Cincinnati can make the wild card.
But they still have Baltimore at least one more time. They still have Pittsburgh at least one more time.
Really quickly.
Yeah.
Browns, Eagles, Raiders, Ravens, Chargers, Steelers, Cowboys, Titans, Browns, Broncos, Steelers. It's not a hard schedule.
But it's not like
there's
an
what,
easy
two losses
schedule.
Maybe? Yeah.
Like say them again.
Give me one second.
All right.
Unlock my phone here. It starts with Browns,
win.
Eagles,
loss,
win. Raiders,
win.
Ravens,
win. Loss.
Loss,
Chargers,
loss,
Steelers,
what? Loss.
Okay,
Cowboys.
Stop. Loss. You're just going to keep saying
Titans.
Loss. Stop.
Yeah, he's
just,
win.
Just, no, Bob's being Bob. Just let him.
No, look,
you're dying on your take. The Bengals will make the playoffs.
No, I don't think the Bengals will make the playoffs. It's fine. I don't think based on your schedule, you can sit there. Like, we don't know how good these teams are going to be. We don't know how injuries are going to happen. Yep. Like, looking ahead all this way is like, you know, Pittsburgh is good right now. They may not be good. Dallas is not good right now. Maybe they come up and find a win. Like, the NFL is so week to week, game to game, play to play. Like we can look at, like, when you start looking ahead at the schedule, that's when you get into trouble. I know what I've seen out of Cincinnati, and other than playing the Chiefs stuff, they haven't been good this year.
I think they make it. Let them be the wild card team that wins their first game and they come to Arrowhead and lose to the Chiefs. That would make a lot of people happy. I do want to give a shout out on the other side to a local high school team that needs help. Plus, we get into a debate that has Bob Fesco written all over it here on 96.5 The Fan, and it is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.